Let's start with the facts, man. We don't got to beat around the bush, man. He smoked this nigga on this track, bro. He smoked them. It's simple. Like,
so and, again, back in the
and again, like, I got to clarify for, you know, some of the listeners that might be newer to the culture. Me saying smoked does not implicate that Drake is finished. That shit doesn't even necessarily implicate that Kendrick is up. But it was a heavy jab. At the very least, it was a very heavy jab.
I don't know if smoked is the word I would use personally. But
like,
but
my point is, like, I'm talking about like execution. Like execution, like start to finish, how the record started, how it finished. I feel like every how you feel in the middle of like that song playing, it's like it's it hits.
He packed him up.
He packed him up. That's my point. Like, I'm not, it's like, you know, you can be in a roast battle and somebody has a really good roast. It doesn't mean it's over for the other person, but you got to, you know, you got to tip your cap and be like, you know, he smoked him with that one. And I feel like this might be my biggest, you know, cap tip all game, all series. I mean, to put it like lightly, you know, I was on here talking crazy, you know, where's Kendrick at? Boogeyman supposed to have this record. And in the same way that Drake,
yeah, more than a record, this in the way had a short it, film. In the way that, minutes, apparently.
In the way that Drake took his time and actually ended up like his method was a little more calculated than we might have thought. I gotta, you know, also, you know, Kendrick, I think he erased all that time shit, all the countdown, you know, he made up for it essentially. So I think these dudes are moving calculated. I don't think this was a nuke. I don't think this was something to end Drake, but, he definitely is cutting deeper. It reminds me of what Pusha T said. Like, if we continue with this beef, it's just going to get surgical. Pusha kept hinting that he was going to peel layers back. And it feels like Kendrick is, like slowly peeling layers back. But he's, like, set a foundation, you know, of, like, what he's about to do. Whereas, like, Drake, I don't know if we know what he's even hinting at revealing. I get, like, I think Kendrick's big joker is loading, and it's apparent. But we don't know what Drake's even got in the tuck. So, you know, I'm not going to write Drake off. But this is good squabble right now. This is great squabble.
Yeah, speaking on the layers piece, I think, you know, this is what we expected. You know, ultimately, that was a Drake track. We just putting out our feelers. We're saying we know some shit, hinting at what we might know, but we're not getting too deep. We're not necessarily divulging anything. We're getting piquing niggas' interest, getting them
interested.
Nothing
new. Nothing new. No new info necessarily.
Again, I think somebody brought up the point earlier, and I saw on Twitter that, you know, Drake makes music for the fan, or he makes his disses for the fans, for the listeners, for his audience. And Kendrick makes the diss for Drake specifically. Because, you know, I think he approached it in the Kendrick way, right? He starts with the reverse beat. And then he's doing his little thing at the beginning, his spoken word type shit.
Them superpowers get neutralized. I can only watch in silence. The famous actor we once knew is looking paranoid and now spiraling. You're moving just like a degenerate. Every antic is feeling distasteful. I calculate you, not as calculated. I can even predict your angles. Fabricating stories on the family front, cause you heard Mr. Morale. A pathetic master manipulator. I can smell the tales on you now. You're not a rap artist, you're a scam artist with a hopes of being accepted. Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never had been your collection. I make music that electrify him. You make music that pacify him. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. Know you're a master manipulator and habitual liar too. But don't tell no lie about me, and I won't tell truths about you.
Then boom, B switches, picks up, and then he kind of starts trying to take the Drake route, trying to make something that's catchy, right? That catches the ear, like, we vibe into this. We rhyme with this. So I like the approach he went for. I think, you know, he definitely accomplished what he needed to accomplish. He went at Drake with a Drake. Like, he literally says, he opens it. No, I make music that electrify him. You make music that pacify him. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. Know you a master manipulator and habitual liar too. But don't tell no lie about me. And I won't tell truths about you. So nigga, I'm ready like to the hear
ultimate, the ultimate like leprechaun, like that you just see on the side of the road in like the middle of a mystical story. And, like,
nigga, he's
not mean. Yeah, he's not mean, but like he's letting you know, like in a very funny, nice way. Like if you step 1 foot closer, like I'm gonna end your entire life.
And I think he takes a good approach. I think a lot of these lines were, again, which is what we said, bro. Like, don't, you're not just going to, you know, again, bar a nigga to death in the sense of like, you know, I'm just going to wrap circles around you and all that stuff. Like, that's not really going to work. You need a little bit of shock value. You need to chip away at this armor Drake has built up that is seemingly impenetrable. Right, no matter what this nigga does, he seems to get away with it. The fans are always on
rap
his
game,
side,
rap game
defending him when he don't need no defending. This shit is, you know, this shit is like, this nigga got the infinity gauntlet. The only way you got to start ripping off these stones piece by piece, chinking at that armor, right? Taking down the facade, breaking this nigga down. And a lot of that was like, you know, white boy. They talked about the BBL that Drake apparently had.
On the abs.
He's telling Drake, he literally says, I even hate when you say nigga, but that's just me. Like calling Drake a bitch. He had the line, he's like, you get up, he says something along the lines of, you stand next to Sexy Red and you think you sexy, like, I see two bitches. Or you see two, or not I see two bitches, you see two bitches.
Matter of fact, I ain't even bleed them yet. Can I bleed them? Bet. When I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. It's real competition. You might pop ass with them.
This shit is just like it's funny. Because in some ways, I feel like it's a little true. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny. It's just like, you know, there's a little truth in every joke. Like, I think unless you're just the most abject Drake stan and defender, you let out a fucking chuckle.
You gotta laugh at it. You gotta laugh at some bars.
Because you know.
Now, funniest part was easily the Canadian accent at the end. That shit.
What did he say? He said, what you want, Crody?
Don't speak on the family, Crody. You can get deep in the family, Crody. Talk about me and my family, Crody. Someone go bleed in your family, Crody. I be a New Hall King eating fried rice with a dip sauce and a blammy, Crody. Tell me your cheese and farm. We can do this right now on the camera, Crody.
And some, before I pass it to Taj, though, I just want to give him his credence. Like, it's clear with this, like, it's literally the chorus, bro. This shit is about hate. This nigga Kendrick hates Drake and everything he stands for. Like, this is literally like Marvel, nigga. Like, this is like Thanos.
Is this the greatest hating? Is this the greatest
like
hating we've heard?
Iron Man.
In your opinion, you think this is the most hate we've ever heard?
Bro, he literally says, it's always been about love and hate. Now, let me say, I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way you walk, the way you talk. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's going to be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck because they confuse themselves with real women. And notice I said we. It's not just me. I'm what the culture feeling. Kendrick, like, me and everybody else, we fucking hate you, nigga. Like, they is fed up with Drake, man. So listen, ball is in your court, Drizzy. Kendrick slow played this. I think if he was going to slow play it like he did, he had to come back. He had to be forceful. Like, 6 minutes, nigga. 6 minutes of hate. And he had a director's cut, 19 minutes long. This shit got a lot of hate in his heart. He alluded to a lot of things here. Drizzy, you haven't been ended. Kendrick definitely gets a point. But, nigga, do not come on no bullshit. That old formula that worked,
it's over. It's done.
That shit, you better bar. You better
niggas
come
need a
with some bars. You better come with no more Duffy freestyle, back-to-back fast shit. I need, like, the charged-up shit. You can't do that neither, nigga. You need to come on here.
Duffy would be hard. Like, he got to, like, because he rapped
on Duffy.
Duffy
is too. This is like, we getting to the end of the. Duffy's cool. But nigga, you need to go link up with 40. Get boy one day in there.
No 40.
You know what I'm saying?
40. No 40.
Y'all
no
need speed. To go. Y'all need to go. Nah. You need to go queue up one of them souls. You might need to get on an old Yay B.
Nah.
You have something, nigga.
You're losing it. You're about
you
to
need
lose
real
the
music.
Yo.
You need real music.
Party. You're about to put Party on the disc. You got to stay away from them OVO niggas. You heard Kendrick. He said stay
I
away
need
from
real
Yachty.
Music.
He said stay away. Get Tay Keith, man. Fuck you, get Metro.
Stay away from the ropes type shit.
But the way Drake was talking on TaylorMade, like, the amount of fun it seemed like he was having on that song, it makes you think he must have something too, right? But, like...
Better.
I think this next round, we see blood. Like, I think there will be blood drawn, bro. They might have to stop
the fight. Going off that, like, worst case scenario, like, worst case rumor I've heard about Kendrick is the whole, like, his kid isn't his wife cheated. Worst case rumor about Drake is pedophilia, nigga. Like, that's two different levels.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I ain't gonna lie. What he's alluding to with Drake, there's no coming back from that if them accusations get confirmed in any capacity by Kendrick Lamar. It's a good job, Kendrick. Well executed. I don't know. I want to talk about that before we end this. Just those small parts. What does euphoria mean? Do y'all care about stuff like that? Album covers, like song titles? Especially in stuff like this, beef. Especially when you're coming from somebody.
Like, I think it's just like a play for double entendre. Like, I think it's a hint. Like, it's a play at the Drake euphoria thing. I don't think it's anything that deep. But I think it's also just like, I've been waiting to get this shit off. Like, the way he went in that chorus and was just blatantly like, I hate Drake.
Not about gimmicks, not about who the greatest is. Always been about love and hate. Now let me say, I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's gonna be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck, cause they confuse themselves with real women. Then notice I said we. It's not just me, I'm what the culture feeling.
Like, I think that's the euphoria. Like, this is a euphoric feeling. Like, I'm finally getting to just, you know.
Finally, I got what I want.
All my soapbox. Yeah, like.
I got what I want.
I baited Drake. Drake came out of his cave, and now I'm about to just go crazy.
In that nigga. And that's why I was just like, wow. That's why this is just a, this is like fucking, this is like Ali Frazier.
It's chess. Man. It's chess.
You know what I'm saying? This is just like, we ain't had one of these since, I don't know. I wasn't alive last time we had a beef.
Now, I'm glad you said the Ali Frazier.
It's good.
It's not even just like it's too. It's the fact that they both delivering. Like, Drake on push-ups, I thought that was like a 10 out of 10 response to him getting jumped. And Kendrick on Euphoria, I thought this was like a 10 out of 10 response to what Drake did. Like,
yeah.
I think they both delivered on their, like, legendary status. So, I'm happy as a fan of both so far.
He said, you gonna make a nigga bring back Puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crashed something. Like, yo, disrespectful. Like, and I talked about this earlier. This is my last point. I think to continue on Taj's point, you know, about kind of commending both sides for doing it in their own respective ways. Like, I think to go deeper into that, like, we're seeing different types of disrespect. And I think, like, where you fall and which type of disrespect you know, makes your blood boil more. I think that's where we're seeing people lean, you know, on the TL and stuff. Like, Drake, like, he used Tupac AI voice, like, it's so ridiculous and so outlandish that, like, it's disrespectful. You know, they cease and desist. Like, they sent to cease and desist, made him take it down. Like, Kendrick alluded to the fact that Tupac was turning in his grave. And I think to a lot of people, just, like, the ridiculousness of Drake doing that and just the fact that he was being so kind of nonchalant and so braggadocious on those records, I think that's kind of one form of disrespect where I think just the true wordplay and just lyrical ability that we're seeing from Kendrick is really the disrespectful part. Like, the way he's just describing some of this stuff. I think we're just seeing two kind of different types of disrespect. But somehow, miraculously, there hasn't really been a true hook thrown. You know, it's been a lot of jabs. So,
but I think that's what I appreciate most about this matchup, right? It's just like each greatest strength is simultaneously their greatest weakness.
Facts.
Like,
facts.
Like, literally Drake being the funny guy, like the guy who does the Tupac AI and the Snoop AI, who drops the fun songs, Size 7 Men's On, like, that guy, like, it's also so easy to, like, you know, jab at, like, and especially for his counterpart Kendrick, who's like, if I wanted to pick anybody to you know, poke at those weaknesses, it would be Kendrick. And then simultaneously, Kendrick's the serious guy, the, you know, little bit of a snob, the the maybe can't take a joke guy, the Kawhi guy. Like, you don't never see this nigga Kendrick smiling. Like, he's self-righteous. He's the self-righteous hero. It's so easy to poke shit at that too. So I think that's the beauty of this matchup. It's just like two niggas from two who represent two completely different things in hip hop, like clashing. And it's like, what's gonna win out ultimately? And this beef has been well received by Twitter. You know, it's been hard for the Drake stans, the Drake fans. It's been hard for niggas to shit on it. Like, at worst, you acknowledging like this, it ain't over. Or like, you know what I'm saying? But you acknowledging like they sent one.
All right. That was quick, instant reaction. Same night. We'll toss it now to like Chance. Previous days. Great episode loading. Thanks. Peace.
Unheard episode 152. We back, man. We got a lot in store. Before we get into that, though, go check us out on Twitter, Unheard Pod 1. Instagram, Unheard Podcast. Man, we're going to get into this PND, man. Talk about the latest installment of the Party Next Door series. We're then going to do a little recap of the first three projects and, you know, sort of place this one, see where it sits among those. We got some injury shit with Vance, man. We're going to talk about the streaming schemes, man, and the whole JT debacle.
Debacle. This was more, an excellent man. Scheme.
He said what?
He called it a debacle. This was an excellent scheme. It worked. Nothing was debacle.
Yeah, not a debacle. A debacle was a failure. That's something that had to go terrible. Got exposed.
But yeah,
regardless,
man. Stay tuned. But Taj, man, cue the intro music.
Lose my mind is hilarious. Nigga walk into the room to the threesome. Hey, y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Nigga said I've never had this opportunity before.
That shit really made me audibly laugh.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Fucking two bitches at one time. Couldn't make me choose if it depended on my life. Ones have Spanish and ones have white.
Nigga got in the room and started doing a scouting report. I can't choose.
Nigga said, couldn't make me choose if it depended on my life. It's like the gun to my head, so I don't know what to do right now. One's half Spanish, one half white. Nigga said, I'm doing every background check. Ethnicity, DNA.
Party's probably like your, what, third, fourth? He's like, what, third in your starting five?
He's like our fourth third option.
Fourth option?
He's
right.
like the fourth option.
Fourth, so how do you think your fourth option? Fifth option is crazy. How do you think your fourth option did?
I mean, y'all got into it a little bit, bruh. First of all, the project is I wish it would have ran a little longer. I think I don't know if that's a product of getting three singles in advance.
Definitely.
The project is only true 12 songs with, you know, like two interlude skits. So it felt like we only got 9 new songs. But if anything is true, like one of my favorite songs allude to, Party is truly stuck in his ways on this one, man. You know, true to the name, PND4 lives in that same world as you know, the three preceding projects, bruh. Very spacey. It's just Party on this joint. A lot of the same themes of like a little bit of toxic love and shit. But I have to say, bruh, on this one, I think he doubles down on that in a way he hasn't on previous projects, because like Vance said, there's only really like one hype kind of summer song, maybe two on here, in For Certain and Cheers. So a little surprising, you know, you drop an album late April, summertime is coming up. You know, I think if your goal is to, you know, kind of have some stand power over the summer, you know, you don't accomplish that in traditional ways. Like, none of this shit really gonna be played at a party. No pun intended. That being said, this is like perfect mood music, man. Like, true to Party Next Door fans, this is the late night drive, What's the other corny ones? The part, the what is it? The park car conversations. You feel me? Park this car is the
crazy.
Your brain is going to, your mind is wandering to crazy places right now.
He just made a Spotify playlist.
For real, like you with a shawty, man, you just put this one on. Good music on here. He starts it off really strong with the first three tracks and Control, Lose My Mind, Stuck in My Ways. It becomes clear there that this is, I don't know, it's almost like a film noir. A little bit, huh? He's kind of like trying to tell a little story with this shit. I didn't care for Cheers, but No Chill, I think, obviously one of the standouts on here. I think the singles, you know, they fit better in the context of the album than they do Standing Alone. I still think Real Woman is also one of the strongest songs on this project. And then Stuck in My Ways, as I mentioned, bro, like, yes, just greatness right there. So, all in all, man, I feel good about the project. You know, I think it'll definitely have its place in a rotation. A few of these are definitely getting playlist placements. So I feel good.
This is the most narrative. You mentioned the film noir. I don't know exactly where you're going with that, but this is his most narrative project of like.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's like stuck narrative with one theme of like. I texted you guys in a group chat like Party wants his girl to come inside so bad. Like that's the whole project is like him and his girl like going back and forth. Like she's outside when he wants her to be inside, so he goes outside when she wants him to be inside. It's like just this hilarious back and forth. And like when I first listened, I was like, damn, this isn't. The party I'm used to like this mm-hmm. dark always out there party. Then I like listen more and I thought about who where Party Next Door is in life. I'm like, damn, okay, this is 30. He probably does want to be inside now, like, and that's what it sounds like. It sounds like he wants to settle down, but he's still like trapped to the outside a little bit. Or like that's why like tracks like Sorry But I'm Outside is hilarious or and just great. And then like No Chill is great because it's like such a silly premise of like, I bought you this fire body and you won't come inside with me. You want to stay outside now with the body I bought you. It's just like only party type problems, but it's just like, it hits, but it's also funny. Like I was, found myself laughing throughout the whole album, but I was also like, damn, I get it. It's kind of hard.
The line on No Chill, speaking of No Chill, he say something about finding her pretty ass at Mobile.
Yeah.
Ever since I copped you all this, Aishu got No Chill, and then he hits the little ad lib at the end. Like this nigga's hilarious.
And to me, you are the star of the show still. Even though I found your pretty ass out of Mobile. Ever since I copped you all that ice, you got no chill, no more.
What'd you think, Vance, man? Sum up that review, Taj. Is that a positive review? Is this, are you saying, like, give us the spark notes. Like, what are the three key verbs or adjectives you would use to describe this project? How you felt after listening?
I would say succinct. I would say the whole narrative part. And I would say it's true to party. It's a nice addition to the series.
Authentic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that. That's what I'm saying. And that was my whole point with, like, it fits into the preceding albums, but, like, it stays true to Party, like, who he is. But he's doing some different shit here. He's doing some shit. Like, this is a more focused project for sure.
My biggest fear is he's going to force it. He's going to try to do, like, the early Party shit, like, early 20s Party of, like, I'm really outside, I'm fucking everything. I thought I was really scared he's going to try to force it. So the fact that he didn't force it was like a huge sigh of relief of like, okay, at least even though I think it's like comical, the shit he's like going on about on his project, it still like feels true to him. So I'm like, all right, that's cool.
I agree kind of with everything you all said in terms of, you know, maybe it might not be classified as a standout project, but it definitely, you know, is in a different conversation, at least narrative wise, in the past three projects. You know, I'm listening for production first, and I feel like Party's always been, you know, had an ear for production. He stays close to 40 and that OVO camp. And, you know, they don't do him wrong. It's like a very easy, it's like a Happy Meal. You know what you're getting with a Happy Meal every time. Like, Party just goes to the OVO factory, and he goes, Happy Meal, please. They give him 14 instrumentals. Like, I think that's, like, one aspect I think, like, it's underrated about Party is Like, I know what I'm going to get when I'm listening, but like in most instances, that's a bad thing, I would say. But I think for Party, it works out really well. I think it was also pretty interesting how the narrative was more of a song-to-song thing. You know, it didn't feel like you had to wait until track 14 to kind of hear, like, both sides of, like, his brain, like, working, like, both ends of the spectrum. Because, you know, he had her old friends, which is, you know, him blaming her friends and everything for her actions and for her recklessness. And like the reason as to why she's not inside.
Fuck all my bitches old friends. Yeah. Y'all let that girl fuck anybody. She out here catching everybody. Don't not lean on anybody. Don't not be seen with anybody. It's gonna be so hard to clean back that body when I want it.
But then you get like on No Chill, the song right before. He's kind of just, you know, as Chance said, just blaming her directly. Like, I bought you all this ice and, like, you're wilding out, even though I want you to be, like, the star of my show, regardless. So, yeah, you know, like, I don't know necessarily at this moment if I can classify how good it is or, like, how bad it is, but it's definitely, like, entertaining. It definitely kept me entertained through the album, so. And 14 tracks, you know, you can't complain about 14 tracks, so thank you, Party, for keeping it short.
I would say to that point, you don't know how to really feel about it. I feel like, again, I agree with you in that I don't know how much, like, I don't know if I'm going to be calling it classic or, like, I love it. Like, I don't feel like that necessarily, but it feels like, yeah, like, this one, when I revisit and I come back to it, like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do it justice. Like, I'm going to listen to this bitch. Like,
yeah, he pulls you into a world without it feeling too forced. Whereas maybe with some of the past Party projects, mm-hmm. like Taj said, it felt a little forced. Like, I'm this nigga from Toronto and, like, I'm next to Drake and, like, we got hella motion and, like, I'm fucking everything. Like Taj said, and, like, the message was cool. Like, I get it. Like, Toronto's up. But I think I had the same fear coming around this time. So the fact that it didn't feel as forced and it felt a little bit more authentic, I think it's probably just my main takeaway. So if authentic equals good, then yes, the album is good.
And I do think this is I think Chance said this about the whole, like, summer album thing. You don't think it's, like, going to fit for the summer. I think this does fit the summer. Like, it's not mm-hmm. like you're
exactly.
Sexy Red. Like, niggas aren't going to be dancing to this shit. But, like, niggas have been to a party and seen, like, you're a girl you, like, want to be with not with you. And he's like, damn.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where it's going to fit in. Like, yeah, after the function, like, on the ride home. Like, yeah.
I mean, this album's probably gonna go crazy in, like, Cheetahs, you know, like in Atlanta, like all the strip clubs. Like, this is like the 2 a.m., 3 a.m. strip club album, you know, like maybe 10 people left in the strip club, stragglers. And sun's coming up.
He just painted the most depressing picture.
Sun's coming up, and, you know, one girl left on the pole, and the party's playing, you know, No Chill. I think that's just, like, an underrated market. I think that shit is about to go crazy in the clubs, like, down south for a minute. But yeah, shout out Party. Like, I think, do you guys think, I guess as fans, do you think he kind of, like, reclaimed, because you guys know I love this kind of idea of, like, voids and, like, you know, artists that take breaks, you know, it's possible that their void can be filled, or it's possible that, you know, they can kind of come back and reclaim their space. Do you feel like this project for Party was kind of like a, do you feel like he reclaimed his sound? Not reclaimed his sound as if he ever lost it, but do you feel like this is kind of like, you know, the affirmation?
I think clearly a lot of people are chasing the sound like Forbash. He sounds like, prime example, somebody else we got on the label, somebody's trying to, like, emulate this sound, like, or at least, maybe not emulate it completely, but you're definitely trying to elicit the same feeling, right? The same mood. Like, again, what I told you, like, where this music lives. Like, this music lives, like, solo, or with one other person, like, you know, and y'all may be going through some shit. But I don't think anybody has really done it the way he's done it, man. I think, you know, even outside of, you know, the P&D series, like Colors, like those two little EPs are really, really good music on there. What's the other one?
7 Days.
7 Days is another one I think that's pretty slept on. And I think, you know, Party just does that so well. I think, like you said, he's so in tune with the production and like how to elicit that feeling with the combo of the production and the songwriting and his performance. And the fact that, you know, he's kind of just he still maintains that mystery of sorts. Like, I think that's also helping him like accomplish this like allure, or, you know, this attachment from the fans. Cause like Brent in that way, like he's very much, and even more so, very much obscure, like mysterious, kind of how shit used to be before the social media. And it was like all about now getting on TikTok, constantly standing in front of niggas' faces. So definitely a combination of those two things.
I feel like did you answer the question though?
No, I feel like did he did. I got his answer. Like, he was saying, I think that a lot of people have tried to replicate it, but even through all of the kind of semi gimmicky replication, nobody can truly replicate like the true, just mystical, mysterious, authentic side of Party, which he, I think, to Chance's point, put on full display for this album and rollout.
All right.
Yeah. Let's get into the old ones. I guess, who would have it then? Who would have that crown? You say Brent kind of is like dominating this lane. Yeah.
And I don't think this album is snatching the crown back, but it's definitely a reminder.
I don't think they have the
they're not competing though.
Yeah, like, no, they're not. They're not.
You got that both in the rotation.
That was my point. It's like, I don't think it was like a matter of King of R&B talks, but just like,
no, definitely not King of R&B,
his spot of like the nonchalant R&B nigga that's like Brent is in all, I feel like he's just in a different class of R&B. Like the stuff he talks about, like it was,
I feel like they're the same bag, the same vibe.
No,
like Party's more no. LA, and like Brent feels way more like DMV Troubles, can't lie. Like, I feel like I would like Brent is describing my problem with East Coast bitches, and like Party's describing my problem with West Coast bitches.
All right.
It's just different. Like, I see what you're saying.
I see what you're saying. They're definitely similar. I feel
like Brent is competing. Like, would you not argue that Brent is a little more pop, like pop R&B ish than Party?
That's what I was gonna say. I think he's just making a Party very much like I said, double down was the word I used. Like, yeah, and I think people didn't like it, and that's what I was gonna ask you about with Party Mobile. But like, that was obviously of anything his discography, like, the biggest departure up to this point. Like, this is very much the world like Party Next Door lives in, operates, dominates in. Like, you come into this hood, like you go talk to him. You feel me? I feel like Brent though, I feel like why he gets into this bag sometimes, I feel like Brent is, like you said, I don't know if I would call it pop, but his shit a little bit more alternative for me. Like,
it's more like 90s. Like, I feel like it's more 90s inspired. Maybe less pop, but like it's more of like a familiar. I feel like it's derivative
sound. I was just talking about like the, I mean, I guess Vance touched on it, the feeling. It's a very fine line between the feeling between the two. I do agree. There's a different feeling.
It's a different feeling.
I feel like it's close enough to where you can see the competition. But
like, you could play Brent at the kickback, like,
Yeah, facts.
Party,
yeah.
I don't know, like
Party at the kickback. Two-step. It's like, nigga, what are you trying to do? You trying to
right, exactly. Like, this is like
trying to create right now, nigga.
Party. Right.
This nigga plotting, like,
that's freak. That's nasty, bro.
Should I leave, nigga?
This nigga is devious.
That might be a Diddy party if I hear a fucking Party Next Door at the function. Yeah, but so let's do the deep dive, like. I saw Taj.
I was going to say it. Go ahead.
You put in some of the reviews from the past, and I can't lie. Like, I told you, I wasn't super tapped in with Party before, but I'm kind of surprised that those ratings for, like, you know, P2 and was it
before
P1
what?
P2? I'm sorry.
You weren't tapped into Party before what?
No, I wasn't tapped into Party. Like, I wasn't following his rollouts and stuff, singles and all that, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first, I'll say, like, album rollout I've, like, followed, you know, for Party Next.
Okay.
But I was surprised to see that the ratings were pretty low. Reviews were pretty low on some of the Party projects. Like, not low, but Lower than I would expect.
It's low compared to like what you've heard about the projects from like
right, your friends right. And shit. It didn't match the
So for context, like when P1 came out in 2013, Pitchfork gave it a 6.9. And they say, quote, his debut mixtape abounds with homespun beats that turn radio rap tropes into inside out and easy melodicism. Then in 2014, when P2 came out, they gave it a 6.8. They said it functions something like Toronto's answer to Ratchet and B, replacing the dirtbag charm of someone like Ty Dolla $ign with a more benign disposition. Fantano gave that project a 2 out of 10. He said, Party Next Door sophomore releases yet another piece of bottom barrel R&B. Then in 2016, Pitchfork gave, this was the highest of the series, they gave it a 7.4. They said, called it his most assured and confident work yet. And Fantano said, OVO's Party Next Door returns with some slight improvements on his spacey R&B sound. So like,
that was for P3?
Yeah. So the mainstream reviewers have never really given them, but all of these albums, like if you talk to like just your friend who likes Party, they would say they're probably all like a classic.
But here's my opinion on that, right? The whole... Of course, if you're like a Pitchfork or Anthony Fantano, you're reviewing, or anybody who's like these big outlets, all right, fine, they're reviewing, you know, hundreds of albums across dozens of genres, like they're painting kind of broad strokes. Like, of course, if R&B is like my third or fourth genre that I'm tapping into on like a consistent basis, or that, you know, I favor or like.
Yeah, you're probably not checking for Party.
I'm not checking for Party, and his sound is probably like, if I'm just consuming, if I'm kind of a surface level consumer, right? I'm consuming like the bigger artists, or the most easily digestible artists in the space. Of course, I'm gonna listen to Party shit, and like if I wasn't into it when like he was coming up again, or you wasn't attached to, like I think for us, our generation, Party, you know, he's done this shit for like over a decade now. Then he was with Drake, like. We have, I don't want to know if it's like, I don't want to call it moments or memories, but you definitely have memories or like something, you have some investment in the artist, like past just how the music sounds. You get what I'm saying? Whereas if you're just pointing broad strokes and you're just like, all right, like semi-big R&B release, let me check it out. I could get why you not going to favor it as much as somebody who R&B, their kind of favorite genre would like it. It's the same with me. Like when we get into like that indie alt genre, like I'm not consuming the absolute most eclectic and genre pushing artists in the space. Like I'm checking out Faye Webster, nigga, Tame Impala, like, yeah, but nigga, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm getting the broad strokes of that genre. So if you show me something that was way different, I would say I'm open-minded, but that might not be what I necessarily gravitate toward. Long-winded answer, but that's how I view that.
It's good defense. You're a good lawyer. Good defense for Party against the major corporations and blogs.
With that being said, I think out of all these, what is y'all favorite of the three?
I think review wise, like if I was given like a numbers review, P2 was the best in my opinion, but P3 was easily my favorite. Just because like when it came out, 2016, like 16 years old, like that project, just that intro was, I think it was like, I don't remember the actual name of the song, but Checking on You or some shit like that. Just want to make sure that was like an incredible song. It was called High Hopes. Yeah, and he just doesn't even sing for like the first minute. It's just instrumental, and this is the intro of the album. It's just instrumental. You're like, oh shit, this nigga is like going for it. I can listen to that. I would buy that album. Like, that's my test of like how much I really love an album. Is like, would I buy it? Like, no questions. I would buy that album. So P3 is easily my favorite.
Yeah, I think P3 was just like I said. Like, felt like the biggest moment for Party.
The Come and See Me was on 2K, nigga.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was like, I'm glad you said it, bro. I was like, what about the fuck? That. Nigga, that shit was special. Like, you be in the
rec. That shit was so tough though.
You be hooping. It'd be a timeout. Like, nigga, stressed. 1 second left. Come and see me again. Come and see me. Like, you know what? This is kind of relaxes you before the timeout ends, you know? It just felt like Taj said, it was like, I think we were just young and like it felt just like a, like I've never seen a nigga with this sound, like feel so pop, but like it's not meant for a lot of spaces, you know? Like this shouldn't be in 2K, but it's in 2K.
With that being said, though, at the time, I don't know if it's more well-received now,
It was definitely.
But this project, it was not that well received at the time. Niggas was definitely, and how could you not be coming off of P2? That was a
it's because P2 had strong project. P2 had high acclaim. That's why people were ready to hate when P3 came out.
And yeah, P3 is definitely like his chunkiest project, like longest track list, over an hour. So I get it, but I agree, man. I would have to say my favorite, bro. It's so tough. I think Most Potent is probably like PND, like the original PND1. Like 10 songs, really 1 to 10, 30 minutes, no misses. Like Break From Toronto is on here. Wild Bitches is a crazy song. That's on here. What's Good, Curious, like the switch up on that song. That got a lot of the classics for me.
Bro, just look at the last four on P2. That's just an insane options into Thirsty, into Bout It, into Muse. That's like four classic R&B songs back to back to back to close your album.
Muse is special. I fuck with Muse heavy. That's like one of my favorite party songs.
Two is also potent. I mean, East Liberty, Her Way into Belong to the City. Belong to the City is a crazy song.
I don't think I like Party Enough until P3 came out, which is like a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why that one just automatically gets like the biggest moment award. But it's unfair because it was kind of the first. Like if I was a party fan when P2 came out, you know, listening retro actively, like that probably would have been my favorite.
I think I think the last portion of P3 is insane. I think You've Been Missed, 1942, Come and See Me, Then Nothing Easy to Please. Talk about a run.
All right, let's talk about Party's run as a whole to close out this segment. Get before you're done here. This was a review I wrote for Sound Sports on P2. I said Party Next Door is Carmelo Anthony and P2 is Carmelo's 2012-2013 season. Party's undoubtedly one of the best talents of his generation, and the legend of P2 will be heard for years, but there's no outshining Drake or The Weeknd. So where does Party rank? Like, when you're telling your kids about great R&B artists of our time, how are you going to explain?
Yeah, you like Paul George. You like Paul George. That leg,
I don't think that's completely fair. I'll say this.
Wait, why? In which regard?
I'll say this.
I feel like you're about to say some shit that's disrespectful to Paul George.
I'll say this.
I think Paul George is a great. That's great combos to be in. You know,
I think that's a good comp.
I think this beef, quote unquote, has alluded to this, and it's always been talked about. But just kind of when you on the OVO camp, you kind of feel like I don't know if it's under Drake's thumb, but like he's the head guy. He's still making music, like. He's not trying to pass the torch. And I don't think that's a bad thing for Party. I think it's worked for him and it's been to his benefit because he doesn't feel like a guy. He feels like a true songwriter, right? Like a little bit like a Leon Thomas. Like, this nigga's a songwriter at heart, but he could sing and make music too, so he'll do it. But it never felt like he wanted to be at, and you compared him to The Weeknd, which I think is the perfect comp. Like, what would The Weeknd look like had he stayed under Drake? I think he would have still broke out and burst it out because it felt because it felt like you know, that's what he wanted, but it never felt like Party aspired to be again. He was always kind of like an enigma, like just kind of in the shadows. Like you hear he writes for all these big artists, he drops music too, but he never wanted to be at the forefront, be on socials, like be the guy.
To be real though, do we really know this? This narrative it might be one of the most prominent narratives in music. I can't lie. That like Cardi doesn't like try. But like, has he ever said anything like that?
He's alluded to it in interviews. He's like,
okay. Like, I just didn't know if it was like throwing baseless. It up
of like, you don't really want to be a star. And he's been like, he hasn't said like, yeah, I don't want to be a star. He's been like, yeah, I'm kind of cool on it. I'd rather do songwriting shit. I'd rather work with Rihanna for a week than do whatever.
Yeah, he has said that. He has talked about like he enjoys writing for Rihanna. I mean, shit, I would enjoy writing for Rihanna too. I don't blame him. He wrote work. Like,
exactly. But I think even how long it took this project to come out, it's been 4 years since Party Mobile. You know what I mean? Like six Eight years since P3. Doesn't feel like a guy who's, you know, trying to be on Drake or a Weeknd level. So I don't even compare him to those guys.
So what would you tell your kid? Your kid is asking about the greatest R&B. What are you saying? Vance said he would tell his kid Paul George. What would you say?
Fuck, had a couple nigga. Great seasons.
Let's,
a couple
let's great dive seasons. Into the let's dive into the catalog, nigga.
About to suck your kid into a whole marathon. Kid wanted a short answer.
This shit got staying power, and the music he's made, is not replicated or replaced. Like it holds its own, it stands on its own. Like if I want to hear this, I need to go to this. Like I can't. There are no substitutes.
Paul George.
All right, let's get on here then.
Can't remember what I was gonna do for my unheard this week.
She man, we just talked about the party, man. Let's play. What is the most slept on but potent Party Next Door song, in your opinion? What song would you beat the table for?
Oh, can't remember the name of it right now. It's off of...
You can really just press shuffle on P3, whichever one plays.
There are so many.
I love Bad Intentions off of 7 Days.
I was going to say.
That's a good one.
I would go with that one. I would also beat the table. Like, one that's really girl. Like nobody
not
checks out.
Yeah.
Play that one,
week,
Bad Intentions.
My shawty is a good girl, not a freak, oh. 7 days a week, 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 but I bet not today. I be the last to try to judge you, but I be the first to try to fuck. A lot of niggas to try to lie to you. But lying doesn't do too much for me, that's why. Yeah. Keeping it a 100 on. Trying to see you with nothing on. Trying to see you, trying to see you. I'm a bad influence, yeah, 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 yeah. Bet I make you do it, yeah, 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 yeah. No, you say you wouldn't, yeah, 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 yeah. You said you not a freak. I'm a bad influence, yeah.
All right, man. You know, last couple weeks, we've had some topics about streaming, Spotify. They made some new changes. Apple did it a little bit more low-key without a press release, but they're also, you know, combating the fraud streams, the fake streams. And, you know, a lot of times on this podcast, we try to predict things. And, you know, when there's changes in the industry, we try to see how long there's going to be, you know, before we start seeing the results of these changes really take effect. And this one might, you know, top out our list of the fastest reaction time we've seen to an industry change from an artist and their team. And this week it's presented by JT of the City Girls. Now, I don't know if she thinks this is just, not think, because I do like the song, but she's dropped her new single, Okay.
I'm pretty than a motherfucker, hugs me looking okay. That she's fucking with me, is this bitch okay? He said he ain't fucking around, I look at him like, okay. I used to be down bad, but now a bitch okay.
I don't know what day it was. I don't know if it was on Thursday, right before the song dropped, or if it was the day that it came out on Friday, but she released a tweet that said, quote, how to support my latest single, Okay. And it's this photo, it's a whole kind of infographic of Spotify streaming rules and Apple Music streaming rules. So basically, if you're a fan, you have Apple Music, you're supposed to read these rules in terms of how to stream. These rules include opening your music library, selecting the three dots next to the song. It says then delete the song from your library, add it to a playlist and stream other songs in between it. Do not loop the song. Do not mute the song. Listen for at least 30 seconds. And you can stream each version at least 50 times per day. Some of the Spotify rules included, you know, the same, not muting, 30 seconds.
Spanish shit like Jordan rules is crazy.
Spotify rules was do not use a VPN to stream. Copy the link of the song and share it on social media. It helps. And then, I didn't even see this, in fine print under that one, it says, this helps the song appear on Spotify viral charts if you copy the link and share it to social media. So, you know, pretty polarizing tweet. A lot of fans, were saying that this is cooked.
I don't like it. This is turning fucking it. Cooked.
It's too much.
This is cooked.
It's gamifying the industry too much. Fans are caring too much about numbers, and the artists are, you know, complicit in this. Other people think it's smart that if the DSPs are changing all these methods for artists to make money, who are we to fault the artists for, you know, trying to make as much money in these throughout these changes as possible? I think I fall somewhere in the middle personally, but you know, part of me does hurt. You know, you want a song to kind of go organically, but at the same time, there is also no such thing as like really a song just going crazy organically. So I understand the move. It's just a little shameless for that tweet to come from her page.
Like, Chance is disgusted.
They're fucking like visibly disgusted, bro. This is nasty work. Cause it just like, if it just feel like desperation. Like, these are insane rules. I promise you. Like, if the song is good enough, and again, you have some other gimmick, whether it's a music video, I don't know, you trying to stir up some controversy on a TL. TikTok, like, there are a bunch of other gimmicks to get niggas like organically engaged and want to go listen to the song, other than like, how many fucking likes or retweets did he even get for real?
What, that tweet?
Yeah, how, like,
give me a moment.
Is this even moving the needle, and it just make you look a little crazy? It's just like, all right, well, kind of like trying to manufacture the streams, and it's just like, if the song is good, if the song is viral worthy, it's gonna go viral. I don't know if that's crazy, but
the tweet has 1,000 retweets, 4,000 quote tweets, 1,000 bookmarks, 7,000 likes. So it's getting engagement. You know, 3.5 million people have seen the post. So if that's what the point was, which I think it really half of it was, because I don't think any JT song has been this successful.
517,000 streams first day, biggest solo debut of her career.
It's absolutely gonna live on Billboard charts, which is why I think the streaming rules post is even nastier. It's like baseball critics of like Barry Bonds. You know, people think he would have been a Hall of Famer even if he didn't take the steroids. So it's like, damn, why did you have to take the steroids and, you know, kind of invalidate the whole legacy? You should have just, you know, been Hall of Fame in your true self. And I think that's probably my only complaint about it, is that the song probably was going to go between TikTok and, you know, making the sped up versions and the slow down versions. But do you think it's a good thing for fans to like care about this type of stuff? Or do you think we're kind of too late? We're already in too deep. And this is just like the future of being a fan. Like, you have to know how to stream your artist. You can't just play it.
But you think people are genuinely like a substantial amount, right? You think a substantial amount of people are going reading these fucking rules and by the light?
We've seen it before. Justin Bieber did it when Roddy Ricch was number one with The Box, and he was trying to go number one for what was it called? Yummy.
Yeah,
that song Yummy, and he was telling his fans like to download a VPN and make it look like you're from Japan and stream the song and loop it while you sleep. So, I mean, I think people are gonna do it. Because I think the fans now care about charts, you know? The way they can talk shit over another fan on Twitter is, like, my artist went, you know, 20 on Billboard. Your artist's top charting song is 40. That's, like, a cool thing to say now.
I wasn't aware.
Twitter. And I think...
All you gotta do is, like, go under any woman rapper's, like, tweets, and then just go to the comment section, and you'll just see a stan war between whichever other woman rapper she's beefing with.
So you like think right this now, is JT. A particularly big thing in like the, in what communities, like the pop community,
the pop and women, the women rap communities. Yeah. And like even like now culture, starting serious. To transfer like male hip hop too, of like Kendrick and I don't want to talk about Kendrick or Drake this episode, but niggas are like that third week, number one, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, bro, come on, leave this for these other communities, please.
Yeah. That's my only concern. But, you know, we're seeing it, I think, across all entertainment fields. You know, fans are no longer, I think it's been framed so far over the last 5 years as, you know, consumers are getting smarter, fans are getting smarter. You know, you can't just give them a bullshit product. But I do think that, you know, the studios and the labels are also like part of this effort to make fans like really care about the rollout almost more than the actual, you know, album or movie or something like that.
1000%.
So I don't know how far this goes, but because, you know, we've seen so much conversation about like, oh, rollouts are like dead. But is it that like rollouts are dead, or are we just like, have we been conditioned to like care too much about them? And like, we think that labels have infinite budgets to do like crazy, you know, rollouts. Is it that, or,
you know, everybody's paying hyper attention to it? Like, even with like, I feel like Normani is the perfect like case study of what you're explaining. Like, she announced her album after like years of like no album. She dropped the cover art. Then I saw some posts today about like, how do you release a cover art and the title with no single lined up? Then you drop a single a month later. you don't have the video for the single yet. I'm like, bro, do you like the song or not?
You would like, think that's the A&R.
Just do you like the song? And yes. It was like the whole like topic of this. Like, I actually listened to the Normani single. It's called 159, and it features Gunna. And it's a really good single. It sounds like kind of like if Teyana Taylor went pop. It's like a really good single. But the only conversation is like, how is not projected the chart at the moment? Everybody's like, flop, flop, flop. I'm like, bro, this can't be the conversation. Like, I understand this being the conversation for like a Taylor Swift or some shit, but like, this conversation can't happen for every single artist.
Haven't they been begging Normani to drop for years too?
Exactly. And now she drops and she's not getting charted. And that's what they care about. They don't even care about the fact that she actually dropped a good song.
I think, what's his name, addressed it on the deluxe, which I loved a lot. Doja, another reason I love Doja on the deluxe project, she had this song Head High, and I think she's at least talking about just like people dragging her through the web, and she kind of makes this funny joke about like how people always call her mother on the TL, and she's like, I'm not your mom. Like, I have a mother. And then she says like, y'all have moms, and people try to drag me through the web, and they can't hear my, like, I have a gift. I use my voice. Like, they don't want to hear through that. It's just like, am I a problem, or am I a devil worshiper? I think you're right. Like, of course the artists and the rollouts, you know, are crazy for a reason to get the conversation going. But I think the scale is tipped a little bit too much to where like everybody will talk about that even after the song has come out. You know, there's no song conversation.
So how do you feel about it, Taj? Do you like it or not? How do you feel about this? Just these tactics?
I don't like it, but I'm not killing JT. Like, it's kind of like she's kind of been thrown into the situation where she kind of has to do these type of things. So, like, she's trying to launch a successful solo career. Like, she's doing a whole club tour, just like when everybody was shitting on her for doing these small venues at the clubs. I was like, damn, that's, like, not really her fault. Like, she's really starting at the bottom as an artist. Like, she has to do these type of things. It's kind of like, it's nasty for sure, but at the same time, if she wants a budget to then make a whole solo album, her singles have to perform well. So it just kind of sucks that she's like put in this position to where I have to basically post cheat codes to my fans just so I can then get a budget for my album. It's like, damn.
And you think that, and like we said, to sum up, that's just product of the industry and the fans. Like, fans got to be better.
I think the cat's just out the bag. Like,
yeah.
Because people are critiquing her like, oh, you should have left the fans to post it. But it's like, what's the point? You know, everybody knows that like the artists are in on these methods too. So I think it's just like shameless, but I think that's just the new normal. I hate to use that phrase. I actually hate to use that phrase, but
I think the new normal.
Niggas were running that phrase up.
That shit's still like just a fucking, just a buzzword.
It's such a buzzword. But in terms of the industry and like marketing tactics, especially in the potential post TikTok era, if that ban goes through, definitely then we're going to see more nasty ploys like this. But yeah, that's all this week on industry shit. JT, sounds like the consensus is you get a pass. Congratulations on your new single, Okay. We will be supporting it, and we expect to see it on Billboard. You know, you can't do this shit for nothing. So
that's what I'm saying. If the shit slips and like, Is it a worse indictment if it, I'm not saying this is gonna happen, but if it slips and it's like irrelevant,
like next it week, starts hot and
yeah. I feel like that's a worse indictment. Cause it's like, damn, niggas actually did what you said, heard it, and it was like, nah.
I genuinely think the song will get more popular. But yeah, I do think that's like a worst case scenario, that all that traction falls off really quickly, like damn near before the summer even starts. Like, that would be tragic.
All right, so I see this here on the docket. Last point, Taylor Swift numbers. I know she just dropped the project. Is this right? Over 1 billion streams first week.
Nick, am I reading this right?
Is this right? It's hilarious. Something that we typed.
The first album to ever do so. 2.6 million units first week. Am I reading that right?
You are. 1.9 million of them were physical.
1.9 million physical units.
1.9.
Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
2.6 million units moved first week.
I did not know these numbers were possible in the fucking streaming era. 1.9 million. So somebody went into the store, bought a CD, a vinyl of this record.
Online store, something.
Online store, iTunes, $10.
A lot of people,
incredible.
The physical numbers, but like Taylor Swift and Adele's, those physical numbers aren't like a Tyler the Creator or Travis Scott's physical numbers or a Beyonce. Like, they ship these vinyls. Like, Billie Eilish album drops next month and it's going to be in retail stores. It's going to do crazy physical numbers too. Cause like, they're going to like these mega stores. So like, you go to Target and you're going to see 1 million Taylor Swift copies. Those already count as sales, whether people buy them or not. Like, Target bought those because they know that consumers will buy them. So those, it's kind of like she's doing business with other businesses, basically.
And you know, it's a little tricky piece of business.
It's good business. So like, it might 1.9 million might not be true 1.9 million consumed, but yeah,
physicals.
Like,
he's just saying
Target
that, like,
buying these projects, Target isn't buying these copies because they're just going to sit on shelves. Like, people are going to buy them, but I'm saying 1.9 million people didn't go to Taylor Swift's website and buy like they do a Travis Scott vinyl, then wait 8 weeks. Like, Target did it themselves. Bought, like
the kill is.
No, that's what I meant. Like, they went into the store. I know she'd be flooding the stores, but I'm saying.
Like back in the day, what happened was, I'm glad you brought up like the big box retailers, you know, like the Best Buys, the Targets, the Walmarts. Like, back in the day when there were a lot of albums getting shipped to these stores and like those shelves had to cycle through, what would happen was, like, you know, you have an album there and they don't sell all their copies. So the label actually has to buy the copies back. And, you know, they would count as sales, but that's clearly some, like, you know, fraudulent sale count. The label is basically buying their albums. And now that there's not, you know, a ton of albums getting shipped, like, remember when Adele dropped, people were joking that her vinyls were sitting in Target for like 4 months on those shelves. Like, it was no surprise that she was living on those charts because there was endless Adele to buy. Like, even if you bought it already, you could buy it again. Like, you go to another Target, I guarantee you they have it. And I'm sure Taylor Swift's vinyl is the same way. And like you said, Billie Eilish will be the same way. But it would be a little different if they were all competing for the same shelf, if that makes sense. It's just a different time, so they can go crazy. But it's also a really expensive route to go, to the fact that it's so worth it to them that they're making, you know, such a profit to even produce 1.9 million units, let you know how much they're making off of it.
I don't know, to just solidify her, is she not a biggest artist? Obviously in America.
She's easily the biggest artist in the world right now.
Is she the biggest artist in the world?
Easily.
She made a billion. Did she make a billion off that tour?
Is she the biggest artist in the world?
She's still touring.
It's a world tour.
Did they gross a billion dollars on that tour?
Let's do a quick Google search.
Let's Google that. Cause this shit is like, these are ungodly numbers.
Off the strength of like just the sheer number of white people in the world, she's got to be the biggest artist in the world. I feel like every white person.
Yeah, she grossed 1.04 billion in 9 months of touring.
It just goes to show you, cause like,
what,
you know, in my circle, like, I don't know anybody that knows a Taylor Swift song that listens to her. Like, of all the people I follow on Instagram, I probably couldn't count 10 of them.
Trust me, there's 10. There's over 10.
People be hiding their Taylor Swift love, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, not me, but she's, like, definitely who people are going in to, like, vote for on the ballots and, like, changing their little pick last second and then coming out and telling people they voted for such and such. Like, Taylor Swift is that for music artists.
And she's been up for so long now, it's just like cross generations. Like, it's multiple generations of Taylor Swift fans. It's kind of crazy.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody said to me like years ago that Taylor Swift is so genius because like there's never going to ever stop being, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls ever. So it's like,
that's why Olivia Rodrigo is so threatening to the legacy of Taylor Swift. It's like, shit, there's facts. A new teenage.
Facts. It's like, yo, if you can just continue to make, and Olivia Rodrigo's going crazy off the method, but like, yeah, if you can just make music for every 14-year-old girl ever that turns 14, like even if she's only a fan for that 1 year, like it's a success. And
like, this girl is a fucking machine, son. Isn't this album like, how long is this album?
31
songs. She recorded her whole fucking catalog, bro.
Well, she did too.
This girl is a fucking machine, bro.
She dropped
the album.
They
tried to end her, bro.
She dropped the album and then she dropped the deluxe right after. Well, the same day as the album. So it's 31 total songs.
They tried, man. Scooter Braun tried to end this girl, man. And she re-recorded the whole fucking album. Called Kendrick and had him come back again. To re-record his verse, nigga.
Yeah.
Damn. I just can't believe the numbers are real. 2.6 million. I don't know if I've ever seen a number
nigga,
that
she's,
big.
She's the only single artist on Universal Music Group's roster right now whose music is on TikTok.
I don't, like, she is really paying the bills over there, son. This crazy.
Can't knock the work ethic. All right.
The torture poets heard. Department. Oh, go ahead.
I already mentioned, it's not. She's not on her, but I mentioned a song. I think it's a good single, Normani 159, featuring Gunna.
Rooming in, it's you, I'm on it, time you own it too. What's on your mind, I'm on it too. Ooh. Call me, I come through, I fantasize, you want it two times on us, I clex in our rooms. Ooh. Back on that vibe again, it's hard to fight again. Shit, we can't hide again. When I get you alone, boy, what you gon' do with it? Don't talk too much just to get shit. Boy, what you gon' do with it? When I get you alone, boy, what you gon' do with it? Don't talk too much just to get shit.
I can tell y'all talker, you gon' like the things I do. Sissy care much, I could leave, she mad when it's hot in the room. Fuckin' we made love to tunes. Fuckin' shrooms. Lock you to the bed, don't let you move. Baby, help me heal the pain. This don't feel like lesson, I feel love in my vein. Who this for? Tell me, baby. We made love on drastic chemistry, keep me sane.
Okay, I might have to make a quick label move, bruh. Before you get your shit off, bruh, I'm dropping Laser Dim. This may come as a surprise to some. You know, we had a lot of hope. I thought, you know, management would take over. I thought things would get in order sooner than later, before the summer. I think the summer is a opportune time to, you know, cash in, but, you know, there were some days I was walking to the training facility, you know, just playing back what Taj said. One piece away from being one piece away. And that lived with me. Kept me up at night. And it's now forced my hand. So, Laser Dim, you have been dropped. Wish the best to you. If you need any footage sent in the portal, you have my number. I'll talk to some coaches, try and get you a situation that works out. But this program is clearly not the one for you. Gunna, you know, your position, we've been looking for a player like you, Gunna. And, you know, we need some adversity. We need somebody that's fought through adversity. We need somebody that's living a little bit of a healthier lifestyle, you know, somebody that has a little bit of experience, you know, not necessarily a veteran player because he's not old. He just got active in the game young. And, I think we're expecting great things this year. I think his not his first day out, because he's been out for a little while now, but I think, you know, the pace that he's taking things at, you know, giving us a couple songs, a couple features, he did those shows. I think he's moving very well right now. And That's an attitude and a mentality, and you know, just a player we want to add to the label. So, Gunna, welcome.
Respect. Good move.
Quick label PSA. Sorry.
All right, I respect it.
I mean,
all right, nigga. No. We didn't ask for Adrian Wojnarowski reactions, bro.
This is not a good indictment on the label.
We have to make a drop before June anyway.
Our first drop of the season. I mean, we ain't eating in May. So it's clearly shit didn't come down to the wire. It's clear that things haven't been working out for a minute now.
For a minute.
And you just finally decide to pull the trigger. It was better. He's better off the roster than on. You'll eat the dead cap hit. You'll eat the dead money and move on. So
we did a buyout. We negotiated a buyout. So it's all good. All right, Taj, what you got for us? I feel like this has been a very like three-headed monster episode. You know, Chance like activated his power up for P&D. I got my industry shit off. Taj, what do you have in store for us this week?
This is something that if I was still in my writing bag, I would write a column about. I've been keeping tabs on it probably for a few months. It's been like, I actually saved it for the end of the podcast because I don't know if it feels like a soapbox moment. Some people might call it hating, but I want to make it very clear, the disclaimer, no hating. I promise I'm not hating on anybody or anything. This is just an observation. I think rap, hip hop, whatever you want to call it, has been colonized. It's been colonized in a dangerous way. I feel like this bell has been rung a few times, like probably when Eminem came up, probably when like Jack Harlow was coming up. I know Chance Vanilla started Ice. Ringing the bell, the Vanilla Ices, but this time I think it's dangerous. Because it's different from Eminem and the Logics and the Vanilla Ice and all those guys, when they came up, they were getting backed by like Dr. Dre and by like DJ Drama and like all these like vanguards that had hip hop's best interest at heart. You know, like there's some talent here. I think now the gatekeepers aren't even black. The gatekeepers are faceless. The gatekeepers are like social media blogs that nobody knows who runs, but you know it's not a black person. You can tell because they don't use nigga, they use like motherfucker and shit. You just know. Like there's signs. And as a result, there's no checks and balances system. Like in the past, I feel like if a rapper got promoted and they were whack, people like us or like just fans, passionate fans could be like, nah, that nigga's whack. Like, don't let him in. Now it's like with the age of like faceless
avatars. Don't let him in and you better not recommend this shit.
Exactly. With the age of faceless avatars, you can't even say don't let him in or that nigga's whack or you're going to be labeled a hater. You're going to be labeled like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I think that's kind of what's going on. And again, I preface the disclaimer, I'm not hating. In fact, I actually like one of the two artists I'm about to name. But like Ian, for example, I like his music. I think he makes good music. He seems like a cool dude. But just the trajectory in which he's blowing up and the conversations I'm seeing around him is like alarming to me. Like, for those who don't know, Ian, he seems like he's like around our age. He kind of, the top comment on like one of his biggest songs, Grand Slam, top comments where bro really picked up where Yeet left off and quote marketing team go crazy. He blew up in less than a month. And I feel like that right there captures exactly what scared me so much of the fact that bro really picked up exactly where Yeet left off. One, Yeet isn't even black. So the fact that Yeet fumbling his position as like this cool young rapper and then somebody else who's like whiter than Yeet can just immediately pick up the crown and immediately go to these new heights. Drake's following him. OT7 Kwani, Vance's guy, is in his videos. You got Bronny doing it like in his Instagram comments. Southside producing his music now. I'm like, damn. Like, there was no checks and balances there. And that's just like, damn, that's crazy. Like, I'm just witnessing the ecosystem as a whole go from these faceless avatar social media accounts, then the Spotify playlist pick it up. And then from there, like, obviously, fans are going to listen to these playlists, they're going to pop up on your For You pages. Fans are going to fuck with it because, again, the music isn't as. And nowhere in this cycle is there like a black vanguard. To be like, whoa, what's going on? When do we get a say so in this thing? Like, that's just kind of what I'm noticing. Like,
I see the. I have no questions, of course. You know, I'm always going
to filter.
I'm always going to play devil's advocate. So, like, do you think this, like, machine. Vanguardless like machine Because I feel like in terms of what you just described, it's kind of reminding me of like that Lil Pump, kind of like Smoke Perp, Lil Xan era as well, where it felt like the narrative was just so strong around like that sound that like anybody could go, anything went, you know? It was like a no holds barred type situation, and like it was like a kind of get rich quick scheme, it felt like. Do you think there's like a difference between, because I feel like sadly, but like one important thing that you are saying is that the music isn't bad. So do you feel like these kind of like narrative pushers, these social media, like this machine, do you think that they have boosted, like, have we seen this before in a worse way? Or do you think, like, I guess I'm asking, like, why is the situation worse than like a situation where they're like pushing bad music, even if it is from like quote unquote like lower income, you know, like rappers that fit the rapper profile, you know?
I think he's saying there's just no ethics, man. There's no ethics no more.
There's no ethics. But before Chance goes, I'm saying there's no ethics in the sense that I think how they're being pushed, nobody's winning. I think all parties are losing in this. And I think it's being done without the best interests of the genre and of the culture. Like you mentioned Smoke Perp and Lil Pump. And I think that's the perfect example. Like when we were pushing, like I remember I was one of the like niggas who was running a blog at the time in high school of like who Smoke Perp, like putting Smoke Perp on like my playlist and saying like he's hard, and like Lil Pump had Elementary and D Rose and shit. And I was like, these songs are hard. And then everybody, I remember getting shitted on like in barbershops being like, no, that nigga's ass. And then me being like, oh, okay. And then years later, we find out, okay, maybe they weren't really good artists. And now like Smoke Perp and Lil Pump don't do anything in music. I think that's the same thing that's kind of what's going on. Like Netspin is another artist, for example.
Right.
He's like
okay. So 17 it is similar. They are similar situations.
Yeah, similar. It's like I want to pump the brakes and just like like Netspin, for example, he's 17. He doesn't make bad music. Again, he doesn't make bad music, but he's been put on like Rolling Loud California stages, and he's like being pushed to these insane heights at 17 by people who I don't really think have the best interest. Like kind of like what Van said, it's kind of like a get rich quick scheme almost, of like 17-year-old white boy making like rap music that's not bad. It's like we can sell this easily, like it's easily marketable, we can get a bag quick, and then if he burns out by 19, it is what it is. Like there was another example earlier this week, there was a 12-year-old and this cycle happened so fast, I didn't even get a chance to get his name. It was like a 12-year-old chubby kid rapping, doing a video on Triller.
He already quit, right?
And then instantly he got hate, so much hate that he quit. He was like, I don't want to rap anymore. I'm like, that's what's going on. Like these blogs are amplifying these artists so much so early on, and it's like they're just kind of communicating with themselves. It's like just blog to blog to blog, and the artist is getting big, and it's like, no, they're not looking out for the artist.
It is
looking
a nasty
out for
circle jerk. It's a nasty
fans. It's just nasty.
Nah, it's a nasty circle jerk for sure, but I don't think the play is that different because it's all money involved, you know? Like, all these pages are paid for promo pages, you know? I'm like, there's no need to name them, but like, you know, all the different pages that cover the underground rappers and stuff like that. Like, because you see bullshit on those pages a lot too. And it's like, oh, this is clearly promo. So I think, like, I don't think the play is different, you know, pay promo, like, blogs and stuff pushing shit even if it's not the best music, but like I definitely will say this is probably like the whitest we've seen the play ever been like executed on, and in terms of like how just like blatant the conversation is in that sense, like
I couldn't believe it.
Like it's like it's almost like if I can be, I just don't know what the long, we're not rappers, and like, we're also not white. So like, I don't know what like an upcoming, like potential, like white rapper is thinking. Do they think that this is the way to like getting on? Like, what if they have like serious you know, like intentions about going far, and they don't want to get caught up in meme conversations. That's why I do think it's important what you said about like these conversations don't really benefit anybody other than the pages, you know, that get engagement. And I think that's kind of the root of the issue, is that like you get paid off of engagement now, so you don't have to post anything good. Like, as long as it starts a conversation and people are in the comments talking about why are you posting this bullshit, like you actually get paid off of that now. So
I would say so many bad
actors. I think there's a lot of bad actors. Just there's a lot.
At least with Jack Harlow, though, there was some authenticity, right? Whether or not you love the music, like the music. Like, it was like, all right, this guy's been doing it, like, whatever. Not my cup of tea, but he's from Louisville, Kentucky. Like, maybe the shit he's rapping about, he's actually experiencing to an extent. Where the hell is this guy from? Where's the authenticity? The Zian guy.
Yeah, there's not much background on him. There's like no stories you can find.
Just like,
Netspin is from Virginia, though. He's a 17-year-old from Virginia.
It's like this guy popped up out of nowhere, and I turned on the music, and I'm like, I guess he did pick up where he left off, but this is not what I was expecting. I don't know. I guess that's provocative, but I think, you know, ultimately, like with the smoke perps and the
Lil Pump,
you know, the Lil Pumps, now the Jack Harlow. I think you give it enough time, the shit gonna short itself.
Jack Harlow.
The shit gonna short itself out. I think no, I'm not hating Jack Harlow, and I'm saying he's okay.
He makes better music than them. You have to.
He makes better music than them for sure, and I'm saying, and I get why people like it or whatever, but it sorted itself out. Like, there's no crazy talk. Like, I remember when him and Drake did the video and shit, it's just like, is this guy? And it's like, let's pump the brakes. Like, this is crazy talk, but that's no longer the conversation. Like,
it's shorting itself out isn't really a good thing. If, like, these are the people who are, like, promoting the artist to a certain extent to where they then get these major looks. Yeah,
that part is
and
disgusting.
They keep shorting themselves out, then eventually the genre itself is going to be shorted out if these are the people who keep in the major looks.
Yeah, these are the top guys. These are the money makers, essentially. Because then if they run out, then it kind of just only encourages the labels to just spend continuously on these quick money makers before, like, we focus on artist development. But, you know, on the flip side, I think
nasty,
we have guys.
But listen,
you have. I think you have things like that are decently cool, like on the flip side, like Tommy Richmond. Like, I think he's the perfect like antithesis of what Taj is talking about. Like, yeah, he popped kind of quick, but at the same time, like, you can look past, like, back in his catalog. Like, you can see very much where he's from, his history, his involvement with like Brent and like that Sonder crew and like the DMV and like how his music has like progressed and like how his shows have progressed over time. So I do think there is still care. Like, for artist development out there, but I do think that the spectrum is pretty skewed between, like, you know, the good and the evil. If the evil is just, you know, pushing whatever quick thing that comes through the door.
How fast he blew up is secondary to the authenticity. I hear Tony Richmond, and I hear, like, this is his sound. This is unique. Like, this is something that he's worked on, he's built up, whatever the case may be, regardless of how fast or slow he did it or how fast he blew up. Like, Tony Richmond, like, you hear his music, this is Tony Richmond. Like, this shit is gimmicky. Like he picked up where he left off. I turned on this song, and it's just like, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, that part to me, where's the authenticity? Like, we gonna build this guy up, like, where's that? Like, I don't want us to lose that, especially with the conversations of AI and shit, like, where this shit already is at the brink of becoming a true, just pure commodity. Like, I don't want that.
Again, I think for me, the analysis is, like, the final analysis is, I think, like, what Taj was first speaking to is, and I think this is a lot of people's, like, main complaint, you know, we're not hating. Nobody's, like, trying to hate on these kids, like, for making money off of rap, or like, you know, we're not about to say that people are dumb for liking this shit, but in terms of how much chatter there is right now versus, like, you know, how much music is out or how far along that artist is, you know, in their kind of artist path, I think it just, a lot of the talk and hype feels a little premature. But I think Taj is saying that's not all just on fans, you know, that's a lot on these social media pages and these Twitter accounts and stuff that are, like I said, paid to promote these pages or paid to promote these artists. And sadly, like, that's the state of digital marketing now. You know, you get your budget from your distribution company or your label, and you know, the manager and the head of marketing, they come up with a list of top Twitter, Instagram pages that, you know, post about rap and take promo, and they reach out to them and they work with a budget, and it doesn't matter how ridiculous the prompt is, the copy is, like, you know, it gets posted. That money, once that wire comes through, that thing is getting posted. So, and all that conversation after is just, you know, it's up in the air. It's to the quote unquote E streets at that point to decide. So I do think, like, all these things have like a boiling point though. Like, Yeet had a little bit more, what's it called? Like, his lifespan lasted a little longer, I think, once people enjoyed his live shows. Like, I think once he went on that first tour and people were like, okay, this is a cool concert, I think that extended his lifespan. I think once we see guys like the Ians and Netspends, like, really jump off the porch and, like, with that project and that first, you know, kind of little mini tour, I think that's going to be the defining moment to see, like, okay, are they really here to stick, or is this a flash in the pan that we just saw on Instagram? How do we stop the colonization?
I don't know, man. I'm just a messenger. I'm just Paul Revere.
The noticer.
Yeah, I'm just a noticer. I'm not trying to solve it at the moment.
How do you solve it, bro? I don't think there is no solution, but I think this is where things are headed. The genre is just, like, it's just progressed so much so quickly. Especially with, like, the streaming era with social media now, like, I think everything to some extent is headed to this point. Like, all forms of media, all forms of art, you know, like, a lot of shit is a money grab, you know, pay to play is definitely huge. Like, the people with the bigger backings with more resources, which, you know, maybe this guy has more resources backing him up that can afford to you know, put a couple grand down for promo across a few Twitter and Instagram platforms. But, you know, that's kind of where it's headed. I think, you know, the fan base is evolving, and I don't think people know what to listen for. There's so much bullshit out. Like, I think people don't even know how to cultivate their own taste. They're just kind of going off what's being the most heavily promoted or what's popping on TikTok. But I think at the end of the day, it ultimately gets sorted out. My only fear is that over time, as this continues to evolve, like, we might just be past the point of no return.
It reminds me that the super team, quote unquote super team model that people say LeBron kind of started with the Miami stuff. Like, people were afraid that that was going to dominate the NBA for years to come. But now we're seeing that, you know, there's a method to beating those teams. And just like anything, you know, people are going to follow that and copy that for the next 5 years, that model. So I think the rap thing will be similar. Like, I think somebody's just going to have to lose, like, sadly, somebody's gonna have to lose bad before there's like a drastic shift. You know, I can't lie, them niggas making money. Like, I might not like that last Yeet project, but I think it's streaming really well. We'll see. Like, they're not reaching Cardi right. level.
Yeah, definitely not.
So
let's close it with upcoming. We got jam packed Music Friday. We got First Chances Guy, Four Bats, You Made Me a Star, the EP, finally releases this weekend. Got any words, any positive words you want to send out to the universe for your artist, Chance?
I mean, listen, bro, at the end of the day, do you, bro. Like, you're a young player. You know, this is a team full of veterans, full of veteran leadership, people who've been here before. Just lean on them, trust in them. Play your game, bro, and learn, bro. Learn from your mistakes. It's your first time being here, bro, and you know, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. You don't know what you don't know. So, you know, get out there, try.
Get out there, explore, and try is insane.
And then, you know, we got you, bro. We holding you down over here. We got a heavy hitter dropping, you know, after Four Bats and Charlotte Day Wilson on May 3rd as well.
Cyan Blue.
Cyan Blue. She'll be getting the first listen. And, you know, this shit is just like, it's a guarantee, bro. Like, you know Steph's going to lead the league in three-pointers every year. Like, you know she's going to come out here and just give you buckets. You know, inefficient. She's going to give you an efficient 30 points, like some KD shit. Like, how the hell did they score 30? I don't know. Effortless. So, we're going to hold you down for a best, man. Party dropped a great project this week. The Future and Shit still streaming. Tim's dropped a single, man. I'm liking what I'm hearing. Testing the waters. You know, we're getting ready for summer. So, everything's coming together over here at the label. You know, we going places.
Other big project rumored. Actually confirmed. He confirmed it, I guess, on his interview with Justin LaBoy. Ye and Ty Dolla $ign. Vultures 2 is apparently, supposedly, allegedly supposed to drop this Friday as well. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. The silence, silence with mixed with a sigh, yeah, sums up how much I'm anticipating this project. But last project, I actually,
it's not even really anticipating, nigga. One. It's not coming out. This nigga's a liar. I'm actually cool with the project coming out. I'll check it out. But why I'm gonna get excited when I know it's a bold faced lie?
I'm at the sigh stage of Kanye. I don't know if I'm gonna even listen to it if it comes out.
I will be in no rush to listen.
I'm not in no rush to listen. Yeah, he's definitely not at the top of the docket. Like, we'll get to it when we get to it, but I'm not gonna hate on Kanye, man. Kanye is still like, look, bro, at the end of the day, even when he's not trying, when he doesn't give a fuck, when, like, he's still one of a kind, bro.
Last one. She's one of a kind. I've been a fan of, like, her last three straight projects. Willow, she's dropping in Pathogen this Friday as well. That's a project I actually am excited for. Cover art's hard. First two singles are hard. Music video's been hard. I expect the project to follow suit.
Willow tough. She's the most talented.
That's it.
Man, fuck it. She's the most talented in the family.
I respect the opinion.
Will Smith.
Till then he got slapped.
But yeah.
Oh, you know, he did the slapping. Whatever.
Yeah, bro. We keep churning, man. Good music continues to come out. You know, summertime shit is definitely heating up.
Is Forbat your last artist or no? Charlotte Day.
Charlotte Day and Forbat are my last artists. Or Tim's. Tim's.
Oh, yeah.
We still got Tim's. I think she's coming in a few weeks. And then ASAP. We'll see what happens before the drop deadline.
I can't believe you were making fun of me for making a move and you still have ASAP Rocky on your roster.
That's fine, though. There's no need to get him off. He hasn't done anything work kicking him off the roster. He hasn't had to play, which is good.
It's insane.
And if he does have, we'll see what he can do. He's like J.R. Smith. Like, he could either be the worst player. Like, why the fuck did I play this guy? Or goddamn, he just hit the game winner.
Okay. I'm glad you have that much hope.
And but it doesn't matter, bro. Like I said, the future hasn't disappointed, bro. Tim's is not going to disappoint. Party hasn't disappointed. We'll see what Charlotte Day's not going to disappoint. So, Forbats, bro. It's probably between him and Party. But Forbats, young player. We'll see what happens.
All right, that's your last words, Vance. You got any last words?
Well, that's all.
All right, take us out with your unheard then.
Oh, it is me, huh? We didn't talk this week too much about new music that came out other than the Party. But artists that I've talked about a few times on here before. Hard Rock from Atlanta. He dropped his project. Actually, can't remember the name of the project, but standout song for me was Clear the Store. Definitely been running that on repeat, so I'll play that as my unheard. Walk up in the store and clear the aisle. Eat money, you won't catch a smile. I could give an inch, they take a mile. If I got two, I'ma do them foul. I told you, you don't want no issue with me. Yeah, I showed you what I do to people who fuck with me. Won't get over, no, you won't get over me. Supernova, bitch, I'm high like Phoenix, yeah, you see. She a slut, walk in the spot and bend her over. Just like paper, boy, I cut you and I fold you. Double cup me, bitch, I'm sipping dirty salsa. I go crazy, I go psycho like that Joker. It been up since I got up, going up like roller coaster. I ain't got no time to mess around with these little jokesters. When I wear my slime, somebody gon' get slimed over. Hella aces up my sleeve, but this shit ain't poker. My money got longer, my cash.
hands got taller. Got good brain like a scholar. She made me wanna call her. I lay up with them models. We gon' party, pop some bottles. Go collect them dollars. No, we won't pass up the dollars. Walk up in the store and clear the aisle. Be muggy, you won't catch a smile. I could give an if they take a mile. If I got two, I'ma do them five. I told you, you don't want no issue with me. Yeah, I sold you. What I do to people who fuck with me? Won't get over. No, you won't get over me. Supernova. Bitch, I'm high like Phoenix. Yeah, you see, she a slut. Walk in the spot and bend her over. Just like paper, but I cut you and I fold you. Double cut me, bitch, I'm sipping dirty salsa. I go crazy, I go psycho like that Joker.
Man, podcast over, dog.